You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies show. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this very podcast. Got a great show for you guys today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Grizzlies, just to kind of continue the conversation, and Grizzlies, Mark and Mike, and kind of their trade rumors. I wrote a little piece on that today, Thursday now, as we're recording this Thursday night, but you'll be listening to this on Friday, but I wrote a piece on Thursday. We'll talk a little bit about that. I wrote that for grizzlyberryblues.com, so if you haven't already read that, go ahead and read that as well. I would appreciate it. In that third segment of the last segment of the show, we'll talk to Maurice Sankofa, writer for The Athletic. He's also got a really good piece at The Athletic right now, just some trade ideas, his kind of trade primer for Mark and Mike, as I think pretty much everyone has written and or talked about it by then. But it's fun to get everybody's opinion, everybody's view, because everybody has a little bit of different view, a little bit of a different reason why they may or may not do the things that they may or may not do. So we'll talk about that. We'll just talk about the general state of the Grizzlies as well with Amari in that third segment. So, but I do want to just continue the conversation about the Grizzlies. And we were at this game on Wednesday night, and we still had to literally go down and figure out questions to talk about with Mark and Mike, and they're probably one of like the most gracious people ever, because like I'm thinking as we go down there, like I can't remember, I just don't know what to say, you know. It's hard to figure out what to ask, because like, how awkward is this? I just remember thinking that, and me and Amari and myself talked about it, like, how awkward is this? Like it's just so weird that you make this public, and that's what I find the weirdest thing about all this, is that you let this leak publicly, and for what reason? I mean, what does that give you, honestly, for the Grizzlies? What advantage does that do for you? Because you say you're taking calls publicly on Mark and Mike. Well, quite frankly, you should have been taking calls on Mark and Mike the entire time. Like, there not should have been some aha moment where you realize, I guess I should start taking calls on Mark now. I mean, Mike's one thing, but Mark, like, you should have been taking calls all along. And quite frankly, you know, no one's really off limits. I mean, if someone wanted to trade you LeBron James for Jaren Jackson, you'd say yes. I mean, like, literally no one is off limits. So it's not like they just started taking calls. They were always doing that. That's not really how it works. You should always be listening. But I just thought it was very interesting, the fact that they made that public. I mean, that they let that leak through Woj. I mean, and then you had literally Chris Wallace like a month ago, after this Kelly Oubre botch trade, talking to the media, standing up in front of the media, talking about how it was ridiculous that players are finding out about trades before they happen and how awkward of a position it puts them in. Like, well, I guess, whoops. I mean, I don't really, oopsie, from the Grizzlies' point of view, because now how awkward is this? So now you have your franchise cornerstones. It's not like you did that to some, you put it out there about some six man or role player off the bench that you're taking calls on these guys. You literally did it to your franchise cornerstones. And now they have to go down there and they have to take questions from myself and other people about how what's happened and how it's public and how they feel about it. You know, you could have done everything you wanted to accomplish with that by not making it public. I mean, you could have done anything you wanted to do without having, you could even call Mike and Mark and said, hey guys, this is what we're going to do. We understand that you're valuable to us. We're definitely, you know, we're going to try to find valuable trade partners that you guys will, you know, possibly go into a winning situation. We also, you know, get some things back, but you don't have to let that leak. I mean, you don't have to go out there and put it out publicly. Now, whether they called Woj and said, hey, we're trying to do this or not, I think it's probably up still for debate. But I'm a firm believer that I mean, Woj doesn't, I mean, I would be surprised if, I don't know, I'd be surprised if someone else told him besides the Grizzlies. Someone in the front office clearly told him. I find that very, very awkward. Now that they've gone and done that, now you're in a position where, like, what happens if you don't trade them? I mean, what happens if you, what happens if you 2 weeks from now they're still on the roster? Like, what then? How awkward is that? That's even more awkward than it is already right now. These guys are already talking like they're already been traded. They're already talking in past tense. I mean, it's not like they're still here. They're still playing games. So it's just going to be even more awkward of a situation when you don't trade them in the next couple of weeks, which makes me more of a firm believer that I think at the very least Marc Gasol will be traded in the next 2 weeks. I think that Mark has a better shot of staying on the team, because I simply think that Mark can play with anybody and he can make anybody better. Mark's a little bit of a different situation, and I think that Mark was kind of the player that you'd probably want to move on first anyway. And so about 3 weeks ago, I said I'd be surprised if Mark was traded. And now that this has happened, now that this is all public, I'd be surprised if he isn't. I'd be surprised if he's still on the team by the trade deadline. I think you almost kind of have to. I mean, you put yourself backed yourself into a corner now where you kind of screwed. You put it out there, and I mean, I know Mark says the things that he says, but you know, it's just a bad look all around. I mean, and from Mike and Mark's point of view, I mean, what are you supposed to do now? Just go to work like nothing's happened? Like, just no biggie? I mean, like, of all the players in the NBA for this to happen to, Mike and Mark are the guys that are just literally going to go do their job. Like, they don't care. They're so nice, and they're genuine people that they understand and they're cool with it. Like, a lot of other players would be talking some serious trash and might not even play. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, there are other players in the league of Mike and Mark's caliber, and if that had come out, if the franchise had done them like they did Mike and Mark, it would have been a totally different story, and they would have, you know, spoke their mind. And quite frankly, some of them might not have even played. If you're going to trade them, they might just sit. I mean, think what would happen if Jimmy Butler. I mean, there's no way he just goes peacefully into the night like Mark and Mike. And that's the problem. Like, they're just so genuine people that of all the people, like, they're fine with it. And that's the sad part, is that you're doing this to people who don't deserve it. And the only reason you're in this situation is because of all the bad moves that they've made. And Mike and Mark don't deserve it. Mike and Mark, just think about it like this. If you don't sign Chandler Parsons, or if you don't do some of the deals, or if you make better draft picks, then you're in a situation where you're playing good basketball, because maybe Mark and Mike don't have to be the number one options. Maybe Mark doesn't have to be aggressive. He just has to be on a team where he's got a rebound, and he can play out of the post. Maybe you have a guy a shooter that can make threes, that can take some pressure off of Mike and Mark. You know, those are all things that are all possible, and you're not even in this situation at all, and you can let, and those guys can retire Grizzlies and everybody can be happy. But the fact that you made the moves that you made earlier years before have now put you in a position where you have to trade these guys so that your franchise can get back on the right track or get back into a path of rebuilding. Now you're in a situation where you've done this to yourself. And those decisions years before have cost them franchise players being able to retire in a team that they love and they have played a long time for. Because if you have other things, pieces around Mike and Mark, if you have pieces that are capable, then you probably don't have to do what you're doing now. You put actual capable playing, like actual capable players around these guys, like you should have done for so long. Then you're not in position you are now. You wasted the last couple years with these guys, and quite frankly, it's frustrating. That might be one of the most frustrating parts. It's sad, the fact that this is how it's probably going to end for these guys. But hopefully for them, as we've kind of talked about before, hopefully for them, they'll go to a team where they can win, and they can have a chance at competing in the playoffs, because at the end of the day, that is obviously what these guys are trying to do. I know they love the city, but hopefully they can be put in a situation where they can win games and they don't have to toil on a bad team and play with other crap lineups every single night, because what they're doing right now isn't fair. And it hasn't been fair to them for the past couple of years. It's just, it's not their fault. And it's not Mark's fault. He's gotten older and he's lost a step, and, none of what is happening is their fault. But yet, they're the ones out there last night or Wednesday night answering questions from the media about how it feels. And that's unfortunate that the Grizzlies have put themselves or put their franchise players in that situation. And quite frankly, management hasn't said a word. Management hasn't been available to speak to the media. They haven't said a word to us. We haven't been able to ask questions. And so the people who made it public that they were going to trade their franchise cornerstones haven't even been taking questions. So, you know, all that is frustrating. And then you have a team that continues to go out and lose, and have a coach that continues to come in and say the same things, comes in and nothing's changed. Nothing on the offensive scheme has changed for this player, these teams, this coaching staff. Nothing has changed all year long. They continue to do the same things. So I don't know how you get to a point where this is what you have and you're just okay with it. I'm going to take a quick break. We'll be right back and we'll continue the conversation. Welcome back to the show. I'm just going to pick up right where I left off. I had to just take a quick break because I was already behind the schedule on that. But, you know, you have a situation where now you're looking into rebuilding, and Chris Wallace is not going to be making those decisions. I'll tell you that right now. Robert Parr is said in so little words that he is be the one making those decisions. I believe that. I believe Robert Parr is going to be the one that trades Mark and Mike, but I don't know how comfortable that makes you feel. That someone with no basketball knowledge, doesn't live in the country, barely comes to this city, barely visits the team, at least that we know of, and he's the one making those decisions. So I don't know what basketball person he's leaning on to make the decisions. Hopefully, I mean, I don't know if it's Tayshaun, Chris Makris. I don't know who it is. Hopefully it's not Chris Wallace, because we've seen what he can do. But hopefully it's somebody that is good. I mean, there's just no telling. I don't know if Tayshaun Prince is good. I have no idea if any of those guys are good, but, you can't continue down the path that you're continuing with this management team. Next year, there can be no way that Chris Wallace and JB Bickerstaff can be a part of this franchise. No way. There's no way Chris Wallace can be a part of this franchise and the, mistakes they've made. Signing Chandler Parsons is ridiculous, as it is. I mean, I was a fan of the signing, but it was pretty quick that it was a bad signing. Not trading Tyreek, I mean, it's another of those things is just ridiculous, and trying to tell us the media that it's something different than it's not, which is just absolute just bullshit. Trying to tell us that second round picks don't matter. And then even recently you have Mark, you know, trading two assets which are going to be high top 40 second round picks. I mean, what's the difference? You think about it like this: your pick is going to be like 32 in that second round. What's the difference between a first round pick at 28 or a second round pick at 32? Not much. And that's what you gave away for Justin Holiday. And it's already, that hasn't worked. I mean, but those are like some of the big stuff. But you can go beyond that and just the little stuff. Drafting Jordan Adams, drafting Jarrell Martin. I mean, they're drafting Wade Baldwin. I mean, all these draft picks who aren't even here anymore. How can you continue as a owner in Robert Parr? How can you continue to look at that and be like, you know what? That's okay. I'm fine with that. Continue to run this franchise into the ground. You can't. It cannot happen. There is no way, shape, or form that you can let this management be in charge of the rebuild. Now, be in charge of the trades and Robert Parr is doing that, whatever. But I just don't see any way you can let this management be in charge of the rebuild. I don't get it. I mean, there's too many mistakes. And recently, I mean, yes, you have to give this Chris Wallace credit for building the core four. If you want to give him credit for that, you have to give him credit for that. Because the best run this franchise has ever had, they're responsible for. But at the same time, that doesn't absolve you from everything else that has gone wrong. I mean, that doesn't make it okay for all the bad things that they have done. And so sometimes at some point, like, you have to be like, okay, yes, you did good then, but now you're not doing very good anymore. And so I think you have to move on. I don't think they'll do that obviously now. I think if they did it, it would be in the summer, as well as JB. If they did it, it would be in the summer. But I just don't, JB as well. I mean, I like JB. He's a really nice guy and he's easy to talk to, but nothing's changed. I mean, he's running an offense out there that doesn't even fit his personnel. And they're running an offense that's more like an up tempo offense. And it's like, they're running an offense that doesn't even fit the people they have on their team. I mean, they can't even get Justin Holiday open for corner threes, for God's sakes. I mean, we've been screaming on this show. I've had people on this show talk about it. I've talked about it, how you can't even run Kyle Anderson at the point guard. Kyle Anderson should be your backup point guard. That's it, period. But yet you still roll Shelvin Mack out there. You play whatever three-man lineups, like the worst lineup in the league. I can't remember who. I think it's Shelvin, Mark, and maybe Jamichael. I don't know who it is, but it's a combination of Shelvin, Michael, and Mark or Garrett, one of those three-man lineups that is like the worst in the league in plus-minus, and you still roll them out, and it's the first lineup off the bench. And nothing changes. Nothing changes. I don't know how you can continue to go and game in and game out and say, okay, this game plan hasn't worked the past, I don't know, 25 games, but I guess we'll just try it again. Like, this is just crazy to me. If we do that in our own jobs, if I'm doing that in my job and my boss is like, dude, you can't do this anymore. You're continually dropping the ball for the past 3 months. You have to change something or we're going to fire you. But now the Grizzlies have fired so many coaches, they put themselves in a position where they can't really just let JB go. And so now I think you have to have sweeping changes in the offseason. I think you have to have a clean house. Rob Pierre really needs to put someone in the front office that he trusts, that is good at basketball decisions, and they really have to start over in a rebuild. They have to start over from the top, and hopefully they do that. And hopefully it starts with getting good value for Mark and Mike, and then they'll go from there. But they need to trade Mark and Mike soon. They need to do it within the next week, so you can hold. If they do trade Mark and Mike, they can't trade Garrett and Jamichael with Mark and Mike. I think that's giving away the best value you have in those two players in a trade where you probably don't have to do that. Like Mark can be paired with Omri or Shelvin or something like that, or even Ivan. I'm willing to give up Ivan, whatever, to get those trades done. Whereas you have Garrett Temple and Jamichael Green separate. You keep them separate for their own deals because they're the most tradable assets you have. They're decent. They're good players. Jamichael's a good role player off the bench. He plays hard, rebounds the ball. Garrett is a good 3-and-D player in his own right, a good role player. He's not a starter, a good role player. And those guys can command some type of return for a team that is looking to compete in the playoffs. And so hopefully they do it correctly. They go ahead and trade Mark and Mike soon, get that out of the way so they can look at other secondary deals for Garrett and Jamichael. But hopefully they do that. We'll see the Grizzlies take on. There's so much to talk about. I haven't even mentioned the fact that they're taking on the Sacramento Kings tonight in the FedEx Forum. Again, as I mentioned last show, make sure you come out to the FedEx Forum either tonight, Saturday, Monday. It might be one of the last times you see Mark and Mike on the floor. So please come out. Again, there's just so much to talk about. I haven't even mentioned that the Sacramento Kings play. It'll probably be a loss. We'll talk about on Monday the Kings game. Game on Saturday, and then we'll try to preview the game on Monday. I know we've kind of got away from our previews and post-game stuff, but there's just been too much to talk about to really cover that stuff and this stuff as well in one 30-minute show. I'm already going along anyway, but I try to get as much as I can in one show. Either way, make sure you get your Monday mailbag questions in. DM me on Twitter, @King_producer, @LockedOnGrizz as a show handle. You can send them to me on Facebook if you want, facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies, or you can email them to me, LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. If you want to be a feature sponsor on the show, also email me, LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. We can talk about it. We have a growing audience. We grow every single week. The downloads are shooting up, and I really appreciate them for that from everybody. I really appreciate everybody going and subscribing. Make sure you continue to do so. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, or just go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com. Coming up next in that third segment, like I said, we will have Amari Sankofa of The Athletic. I appreciate him coming on. Enjoy that conversation.
Welcome back to the show. I have Amari Sankofa, writer from The Athletic. I think, Amari, this you might now have two spots in the show. He's here every week, but you might be the only person that comes twice. So, I mean, I guess I'm doing something right. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to be on. And obviously, the Grizzlies have given us much to talk about, you know, especially this week. So it kind of fits.
Plenty to talk about. I do want to start. You tweeted out just a little while ago as we record this on Thursday night that the Grizzlies have been granted a disabled player exception from Dylan Brooks. Does that matter at all?
It's not much money, you know. So you know, I'm not sure exactly what they're planning to do with it, or you know what they can do with it. You know, but it's just one of those things where it's better to have it and not need it rather than need it and not have it. So, you know, it's a small chunk of change, but, you know, I'm sure they can figure something out.
Right. I think it was like 600, right over 650,000, something like that. Like you said, not obviously not a big, a lot of money in the NBA, but they certainly have that at their disposal now. The other thing I want to get to is you had an article for The Athletic, kind of your trade piece. I don't want to talk about some of those trades you had in there. Most notably this one you had with Indiana. And I also had the idea of something around Doug McDermott for like a Garrett Temple or Jamaica Green. But you had Mike Conley and Armie Caspi going out and Evans, Corey Joseph, and Doug McDermott coming back in. Do you see the Pacers doing something like that after the Oladipo injury?
Yeah, you know, being post Oladipo injury, I don't think they will. You know, I think this is the case where, you know, they're at this point their season, you know, kind of, you know, like it is what it is. You know, they're in the East, so maybe they still sneak into the playoffs, but you know, it's kind of hard to see them, you know, making a trade to, you know, take on $30 million in salary through the next 2.5 seasons. When they can't even get a look at how Mike Conley and Oladipo look together this season, you know, like it's an experiment that you're essentially, you know, punting to next season to see how it works. So I think that's just, you know, at this point, it may be too much money for them to do that now that they don't have Oladipo in uniform because of their injury.
Right. Yeah. I think if you're the Pacers, you have to decide if you're going to punt the season, you know, now that Oladipo's out, or if you're actually going to try to think Conley makes sense. But I think they probably go towards the idea of just punting on the season and just the season now, or maybe even be some sellers at the deadline to just kind of load up for next year. You had another, and there's some other ones in there. I don't want to give all your article away. So if you haven't read Amari's article for The Athletic, go and read it. If you're not a subscriber, subscribe. It's like, I think they're like doing like a dollar for like 90 days. I saw an ad or something like that. But either way, doesn't matter what it is, it's worth the price. Marc Gasol for Shelvin Mack for Caldwell Pope, Rajon Rondo, and Josh Hart. I'm not so sure the Lakers do this deal, but I think if all the pieces that we said this last year, I think if all the pieces of the young guys they would give up, I think Josh Hart.
Right. And, you know, what's tough about the Lakers is just that, you know, they contract wise, they're top heavy with LeBron, obviously. And then they have a lot of young pieces who, you know, are not making that much. So you kind of look at what guys are actually making enough money that could really facilitate such a deal. And, you know, and Rondo and KCP are really the only two. So, you know, I think the Lakers would have interest just, you know, since they have this sort of brief window with LeBron. Yet, you know, I don't know if that's the deal that they would do. You know, I don't know if Josh Hart is an enticing enough young guy for the Grizzlies to do that deal. Although, you know, I think it's really more of a cap relief deal with KCP and Rondo, you know, being expiring after this season. But yeah, you know, I'm definitely curious to see if the Lakers do anything, you know, period, you know, given who they're going to target this summer, you know, Anthony Davis and a few other free agents. So, you're a little bit more of a unique case, I feel.
I think you're right. I mean, like you said, I think it's obviously going to be a cap relief with them if they did that. But you're going to take on a bad contract. You're either going to get some kind of youngish, good-ish player, or you're going to get assets. And I don't think you're going to get both. And frankly, I don't think you're going to get it both for either Mark or Mike. Obviously, now news came out, they made it public that they're shopping Mike and Mark. What are your thoughts on them actually dealing one or both before the trade deadline?
I think that it makes sense for the Grizzlies to do so because you know, this was like you talk to JB after games and he'll say that, you know, we're building a foundation and whatnot, but this was supposed to be a playoff season for the Grizzlies. And, you know, this has been nothing short of, you know, a complete failure and disappointment on that end, obviously. You know, I don't think it makes sense to keep Mike and Mark together, you know, if there's no path forward from here to get this team competitive. And there probably isn't because they still have a lot of money invested in the Chandler Parsons, who they're also trying to move. And, you know, it's hard to see a path to moving him, you know, before his deal isn't expiring next year. And, you know, I think it's just a case where both sides, you know, it probably just makes sense to part ways at this point. You know, like grit and grind, unfortunately, is done, you know, and there's no reason to pretend that this is something that can be saved, you know, because it's, you know, I just think it would be foolish for the Grizzlies to pretend that this is going to end up any other way than, you know, good if the intent is to win. So, you know, this is probably the highest their value will ever be. You know, it was probably higher a couple of years back, but here we are. So, you know, I just think it makes sense for all sides to kind of part ways.
Yeah, and I don't blame them for waiting it out. I don't even blame them for trying to give it one more go with Mark and Mike this year. I mean, I really don't. I mean, because all things considered, that's just – they obviously made mistakes that don't pertain to Mark and Mike that have put them in this position. Clearly, you mentioned Chandler Parsons. That is one of the biggest ones that put them in a bad position to not have other pieces around those guys. And like you said, it just makes sense now. I mean, why would you put it out there publicly? And now it's more – like we talked about this last night at the game. Like this makes it just even more awkward if it were not to happen. But do you think they've become – I mean, I said this on the show yesterday to Joe, but I think they become major sellers, or they should be major sellers.
Yeah, I mean, you have Garrett Temple, you know, who's a one-year guy, and, you know, it's not hard to see how he could help a contender. You know, same for Jermichael Green, 1 year, they're both making, like, between $7.5, $8 billion, you know, pretty tradable. You have Shelvin Mack, you know, I don't know what the Shelvin Mack trade market looks like, but, you know, another vet on an expiring team that really needs a third point guard. You know, I don't know what this imaginary team is, but, you know, point being, you have guys on one-year deals who, you know, you could probably get something in return for, you know, and given how the Justin Holiday trade has turned out, which has been terribly, you know, it might be worth seeing if you can get some of those second-round picks back that you know, kind of foolishly gave away, you know, in a season that at that point
right.
was already given away.
As it's largely probably thought that Chris Wallace is not going to be the ones making the decision for these trades, does it make you feel comfortable that Robert Parrott is the one that is not even in the country most of the time?
No, not necessarily. Nothing about, you know, the how ownership has been involved and the front office has handled things. None of this really feels ideal, you know.
Right.
I think best case scenario, which, you know, probably isn't going to happen given that they already gave this, you know, we're going to trade Mike and Mark. It's already become public. But, you know, like ideally, you know, you probably make some of these moves, or at least one of the moves over the summer. You know, you don't take a weak deal for Mike or Mark just for the sake of it, because we announced that you were trading them. You know, and Para, you know, he gets some new guys in the front office who he trusts can see his process through, and, you know, and then from there you kind of finish the job, basically. You know, if you don't get anything for Garrett Temple or Jermichael Green by the deadline, then, you know, the money comes off the books, and, you know, now your salary is a little bit more clear going into next year. You know, you can just sit on that and not do anything with it, or, you know, you can just figure stuff out. But no, you know, I think there's an order that they should do things here, you know, and that some of these decisions probably shouldn't be made by the current regime. And, you know, given that they've already kind of publicly announced that they're moving on from the current group, you know, I think the current front office is going to have to make these decisions. And, you know, and I don't know if that's the most ideal scenario.
appreciate it. Again, Amari Sankofa of The Athletic. Thanks for joining me, man. I appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.